Blog Talk Radio.
And you don't stop, keep it on, keep it on, keep it on.
Don't play with me. I ain't what I feel.
Girl, I understand that your body needs attention, and I don't wanna take away from your body's perfection by being too rough. It's not enough to just be gentle, so don't wanna make it hard, cause it's always too simple.
It's your girl Cotton Campbell, and today we're on this show tonight. We're here to talk about molestation. I know it's a very sore subject, a very sensitive topic for some people, but However, there's still a healing that needs to happen in this world regarding molestation. And let me bring in one of my co-hosts, Miss Patricia Banks. Miss Patricia Banks.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello.
Hi there.
Can you hear me? Hi.
Yes, ma'am. It's good to see you. Good to have you. It's good to see you. I can't even see you. It's good to have you on.
It's good to be here.
It's good to have you on the show. Oh my God. I don't know. This is like a, this was a topic that I was a little iffy about wanting to talk about, but I'm that person. Like, I like to talk about the stuff that a lot of people won't talk about these days because they talk about all that other nonsense. Uh-huh. But this is still a major issue in the world, molestation, you know, so I wanted us to bring light, and then and I encourage people who maybe have, so you don't have to tell your name if you don't want to. If you want to come on the air and just tell a little bit of your story, you don't have to say who you are at all. You can be anonymous or you can use a fake name and just tell how you feel and tell what you're going through, if it's still affecting your life, if you've healed from it, if you've forgiven the person from or what they've done to you, you know, and how that, because there are people out there that need to know how to overcome dealing with a situation like that, especially if the person is somebody that they know and have to see on a regular basis. So that's what I wanted to us to bring to the table. I didn't see Lady Justice's message, but I know Lucy said she couldn't come on. But have you ever had to deal with, or do you know anybody that's had to deal with this type of situation, Ms. Patricia?
Oh, well, as I think back, you know, over my lifetime, I've actually encountered, you know, several people close to me or people that I have been dealing with that have experienced it. And even in one of my positions, as a group leader, and I'm just going to, you know, leave it at that, at a particular organization,
yeah,
there was a lady who shared with me, you know, through a girl's program, what was going on to her. And it's interesting because I'm starting to hear, you know, more stories from people that I know that this has happened to, you know, since they were a child. And it's been by someone that they know or someone that,
yeah,
they're related to.
Mm-hmm. And that's the hurtful part, is when
you know. I'm dealing with some things that, I'm going to be honest with, you know, you don't think they're nothing until things start happening to you, and then you start remembering bits and pieces of something that happened to you when you were younger, and it might not have been by force, but it was definitely something that now, we talked about PTSD on our last show, and I'm looking up, you know, the statistics and the consequences of molestation, and that word, that phrase popped up again, post-traumatic stress disorder, because it,
yeah,
follows you through your life if you're not dealing with it and acknowledging it properly.
Right.
So it's been enlightening to hear other people share their stories, because it makes me think about, you know, like I said, something that I really haven't shared with anyone, but it was a small thing, but now I'm realizing that it was a big thing. But hearing other people's stories, you know, lets me know that if we talk about it, you know, we can get help. We can be helped.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, so years ago, I wrote a story about molestation, and the title of the poem was Monster Behind Closed Doors. It's in one of my books somewhere, because we deal with the monster behind closed doors. But it didn't just pertain to molestation, that particular poem. It pertained to any type of abuse, and you had to keep it behind closed doors because you were afraid to say something, because if you do say something, nobody, either they don't do anything to help you as a child. They don't do anything to help you, or they don't believe you, or they don't know what to do, because it is a family member. If it's a family member, it's even harder for them to figure out what do I do, this is a family member. Like, how do I? And then you're told to be quiet about the molestation or the abuse or whatever. But I think we have to start. And I know that it's, in some cases, people have been making a big stink about it now, but it needs to be even bigger. I'm going to pause right there, right? Because we have our other host on, Miss Lady Justice. I have opened your mic, Miss Lady Justice. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, ladies. No, Miss.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Lady J, how are you?
Good. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes. You know me, just busy as usual, trying to meet these work deadlines and everything else.
Multitasking.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we know. You got like 10 jobs. You're a whole Jamaican over there. I know.
Yep, we need a big pop.
But I know you're probably listening, but do you know of anybody, or have you had to have conversations with people about this type of experience in their life, and you as being Lady Justice, because I know you talk to a lot of people about different things and trying to help people heal in certain areas of their life.
I have run across several people in these situations. And in listening to you guys, a lot of it is what you say. It's a hush-hush. A lot of it is kissing cousins, y'all.
I'm sorry.
I know you guys are familiar with the kissing cousins phrase.
I'm familiar, but I wouldn't. That just threw me off when you said that.
That's a film, because that's what it is.
It's in some cases it is, and then in some cases it's not. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know. So I want to start here. I want to start here. I feel like if you're in a position where you feel like you're being touched inappropriately, and then you don't like it, I'm going to start there. I'm going to just say, if you don't like it, tell somebody, and keep telling somebody until somebody hears you. Because a lot of times adults don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that Uncle Charlie touched Shelly. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that Uncle Charlie is being inappropriate with their child. Nobody wants to hear that, because it becomes a mixed emotion and it becomes a struggle. What do I do? Probably for me, myself, if my kid came and told me that somebody touched them, it's a no-brainer. I don't care who you are. You're going down. I'm going to take a L for that. Just put the bail money to the side, because it's going. I can't. If it happens to my grandbaby, same thing. My grandbaby. I just think that there is a once you deal with the situation head on, then you can start to heal from it, because it's a healing process, and some people are afraid to. And just like Patricia said, in some cases people still have PTSD from dealing with that type of situation years from now. So when I wrote the monster behind closed doors, I got a lot of questions. I got a lot of men in my inbox saying that they would have killed the person, or I didn't know that happened to you. I got a lot of females at my age asking, how do you get over this? Because I'm still not over it. And so I want us to discuss like some of the ways that they could, a person, because it could be male or female, a person can get over this type of situation, how they would deal with it. And then forgiveness is a huge, huge deal. I know that's hard, but forgiveness plays a big role too. So what do you ladies think?
Most definitely, you know, with you ending off, you know, talking about forgiveness, because you won't be able to get to that road if you don't acknowledge it and go through the process of, you know, just feeling, you know, how you feel, because sometimes, you know, a lot of times people or children, because they don't know how it makes them feel. And like I said, some of these statistics that I was looking up, because they're unsure, you know, when you talk about, like, if they're being touched inappropriately and then they don't know, you know, how to react, it confuses them. They don't know how to feel. So definitely, you know, the more that people share, I think it opens up the door for more people to share, if that makes sense, or to even seek help.
Yeah.
So,
I think she's still working. So I don't know.
Okay.
But I was gonna say I took a college course last year, and we had to write a story on something of our choosing, and I chose to write on pedophiles, being a pedophile.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had, I was dumbfounded and amazed and shocked and disgusted and everything all in one, because in the findings that I, the research that I found, it basically said that sexual exploitation is normal between children. And because, you know, we see the little kids touching each other, and we lose our minds. Like, what you doing touching her? Like, you know, we go off. But it's, according to what I was reading in the research I found, it's normal for a child to be curious about the body, which you can kind of understand, but that doesn't mean that we're going to keep exploring, and that you have to let them know that that's not right. And with that same research, it's the some of those people that are pedophiles, they're still children mentally. They're not full, their bodies are full grown, but mentally they're still children. And there's something that occurred in their own life that made them think that it was okay, because they're still attracted to little kids. And to all of us, that's disgusting. Or to most of us, that's disgusting. It's disgusting to me, because I can't, I really couldn't understand it, but I could understand it, which made me feel kind of weird, because I was like, why do I understand this? But it's still disgusting. But I get it. But it's still nasty, because there's that thing of right and wrong. Still,
yeah.
You know, whether it's your kid or not, you shouldn't be touching somebody inappropriately, even if it's an adult. If they don't want to be touched, you shouldn't be touching them. I have, and I'm gonna say this real quick, and I'm gonna let you guys chime in. I have ran across some young girls who were under the age of 15 who actually liked being touched inappropriately by this adult man. And I'm just like, where does that come from? Is it, you know, you want to try to understand it. It's like, but you shouldn't want to ever be touched in that manner.
And that's the other side of it, because that's one thing that's never been explored, is when that individual likes that, if it happens to them. And like, I'm sitting here looking at the statistics again, you know, they're saying about 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 13 boys under the age of 18. And you can, if this young lady is 15, so exactly where does it come from? And that's a whole other issue. You know, when they like it. Because then that turns into, you know, a whole other thing when they're adults, you know, promiscuous, risky behavior, you know, multiple partners, you know, STIs, STDs, all type of stuff.
And it hurts when it's somebody you know that's saying that. It hurts me if even if it's not somebody that I know and they're underage, because in my head, I want to know, like, what's wrong and what's happening, what's happened in your life for you to feel like this is okay. But it's, I guess it's no different than somebody wanting to have a sex change at such a young age and it's like, what's going on, you know, what's going on in your head that this is how you feel about being touched? Because everybody's different. Everybody's different. We live different lives. We've seen different things. And, you know, it for some people at a young age, they're drinking. Some people at a young age, they're smoking. Some people at a young age, they become promiscuous. And you hear some of them say, but I liked it. But I liked it. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't, baby, come on, let's have a conversation. There's some healing and there's some counseling that needs to happen for people to understand, especially our young people, to understand that you're worth more than that. You're worth more than somebody abusing you on any level, male or female. You don't deserve that. And as parents, this is what we have to tell our children. We have to have these conversations with our children so that they understand it. And you keep having a conversation. Now that, I'm going to repeat myself, but I'll keep repeating that. Because I want you to feel or to know that you're worth more than what somebody else is probably, how they're treating you. You know what I'm saying? So it's a very touchy subject. Now, healing, forgiveness, it ain't easy, but it can be done. It ain't easy, can be done. I promise you. I did a lot of praying in my situation because I had gotten to the point where I was afraid somebody was going to touch my kids because I had been touched. And so I wanted to, if you look like you was about to do something to my kid, if you looked like you was being inappropriate, we had a problem. Like I'm going off. And you know, people were like, "What? Why are you acting like that?" I was just don't touch her like that. Just don't. Because I'm still, but that didn't have anything to do with them. That had a lot to do with my healing. Because in that moment, and at that during that time, I was not healed from it. So you can get over it. You can heal from it. You can forgive the person. It doesn't mean you have to have a relationship with that person. It doesn't mean that you have to have that person in your circle anymore or deal with that person anymore. But if you heal from it, you will see world of difference of how your life and how you can deal with your children, if you have children, and how you can deal with your children going forward. So it's a lot to deal with in that. Like, in your opinion, Patricia, what would you say would be a way to get healing? Like, what would you, besides killing the person,
Well, first, I mean, and foremost, is you know, like they say, a closed mouth never gets fed. I don't know if that's the best example, but I'm gonna roll with it. But I mean, I say that to say that if you have to know that you have to open your mouth and say something, first of all, to me, I know that we say that so many times, but that's first of all, the first step is to admit that I need help. But then when you go into ways of healing, I would say journaling, you know, writing it down. And I think we had talked about this before, and even, you know, with your poetry, you know, I've always been someone that, you know, likes to write my feelings down. And as I'm going back over my life, I realize that I've actually done some self-healing, you know, myself. And it's amazing to think that when you write your feelings down, that helps you start to get perspective. And then you know which way to go.
Right.
So, I mean, I would say that's the first step is to definitely, you know, seek help and let it out. But also write it down because that's one of the first things I think that a lot of therapists, if you make it to a therapist or a self-help or a coach or a pastor, they're going to tell you, you know, to write it down. You know, take notes, maybe even look up the illness itself, because like I said, as I'm looking at these statistics, they say molestation and sexual assault, these are public health problems. And
yeah.
I'm like, okay, a public health problem, but it's deep, because it leads into mental health, like what we've been talking about this whole time. It leads into mental health, you know, all these different issues, illnesses that's going on. This stuff is coming from people not telling what's happening to them.
Yeah, exactly. Not speaking up. You've got to speak up. You've got to speak up. And the other side of it, too, is y'all mothers who, if your child or your children, your son or your daughter has come to you and expressed to you that they've been dealing with this type of situation, and then you turn around and blame them, you need therapy as well. Because even if you feel like the child may be making it up, there's some therapy that needs to happen for somebody to make up such a horrible, horrific thing that's happened to them. There's something going on there. It's better for you to investigate and find out if it's
uh-huh.
true, as opposed to blaming uh-huh. the child or calling the child a liar or doing absolutely nothing. Because
uh-huh.
you love the man, or because you love the woman, or because it's a family member, who cares? If your child comes to you and they're expressing to you that they are in some type of pain because Uncle Charlie or Uncle Bill or Auntie Sarah or Billy Joe did something to them in a sexual manner, investigate it. Have a conversation, because a lot of times we tell our kids, you know, nobody can touch you inappropriately. Well, Uncle Joe might have accidentally bumped your arm and it hit your chest or your breast area. Is that him purposely being inappropriate? It could be, but investigate it still.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Uncle Charlie, what was
mm-hmm.
he doing? Why did it happen?
Mm-hmm.
What took place?
Mm-hmm.
Why was he so close? You know, ask those questions. And back in the day, my grandmother, she wouldn't let me sit on no man's lap. That was a no, 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 no. You don't sit on
mm-hmm.
no man's lap. And I didn't understand why until one day, and I ain't going to say his name. One day, he's deceased now, but one day, this guy had me sit on his lap, and I felt that thing that I wasn't supposed to be feeling as a 7-year-old girl.
Uh-huh,
so then I
uh-huh.
understood. And my kids could, you know, my children can't sit on, you can't say, oh, yeah, get off his lap. You can't sit there. Sit down. Get down. Get down. But the right man, a decent man, even if it's his daughter and she's sitting on his lap, he's going to make sure that she's sitting on the leg and not the centerpiece.
All right now.
Because you know what happens with the center. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't do that kind of stuff. Because it's damaging to the child. Now she's going to have to go and tell her mama that she didn't, that she just sat on your lap and she felt something poking her. Now you're in trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for a simple, you know, misunderstanding, you know, as you may think, or, you know, a lack of redirection or just awareness, being self-aware, you know, knowing,
absolutely.
You know, just a basic human decency of what's right and what's wrong, what could be misconstrued as something, you still want to feel clear of that anyway. The misconception
absolutely.
That you're doing something crazy.
Absolutely. We have a caller with their hand up. I'm going to open their mic. Caller 323, what's your name and where you calling from?
Yeah, my name's Joe. Yeah, from Montana.
Hey, Joe, you're back with us again.
Hey. You have in your description page, how come mothers blame daughters? I'm thinking that at times they do that because they don't want the boyfriend to leave. So they don't want to believe the daughter, because if they do, that means that they'll have to, out of some sort of obligation, tell the boyfriend he can't stick around anymore. So they'll say that the daughter's lying in order to preserve their their relationship, which is destructive, with the boyfriend. So that's one reason.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's a good one, though.
But in the interim of that, you're putting the child in harm's way and causing them long-term trauma. Long-term trauma. Mm-hmm. I will say that I had a conversation with a lady some years ago, and she asked me about if she should leave her husband, and I told her yes. Wasn't for that purpose at the time, but I told her, I said, you need to leave him because he's abusive. He's verbally abusive to you. He's abusive, period. So you need to be rid of that. Because she asked my opinion, because otherwise I wouldn't have been in her business. But she asked me, what should she do? And I told her, it's other circumstances surrounding it, which a lot of infidelity and the whole nine. So I said, you need to leave that situation. Fast forward, last year, she reached out to tell me that he had been molesting her daughter for the last 7 or 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
But had you left him, your daughter wouldn't now have this traumatic situation in her life because you wanted to stay with this man who ain't, and now you can't find him, and now you want to press charges against him. But you put your child in harm's way to begin with. You were okay with it as long as he was doing what you wanted him to do. So as long as he was doing what he wanted her to do, this daughter would still be going through this situation.
And that's why. Yep.
And that's another reason why relationships don't get along nowadays. I had talked to a bunch of people about trauma, and it wasn't just as a result of being a sexual victim, but just situations in people's lives that create stress, and the stress builds up, and it compounds into trauma. And as a result of the trauma, there are a lot of people who do not trust other people. And when you have that kind of feeling that's going on in your psyche, and you don't trust people, you might get married, but you're not really trusting of the husband or the wife, and you're still very reluctant to engage in true intimacy, because the intimacy will either not be forthcoming, or It'll trigger a response in the other person to make the relationship even worse. So
yeah.
People, I think America needs a psychiatrist in every corner. But those psychiatrists, they need help too. How can you find a good one?
Right.
That is true.
And find out they got a whole stupid life. You're like, hey, you helping me? And they won't even address
right.
what's going on with them. That is true.
Like the police need to be police.
We gotta have
somebody policing the police. We gotta have the psychiatrists. They need to see somebody because, you're right. They're dealing with a lot too.
Yeah,
that's
and
true.
I think it's a requirement of if you're a psychiatrist, not a psychologist necessarily, but if you're a psychiatrist, I think it's a requirement. I'm not sure about this, but that psychiatrists have to see other psychiatrists. They have to undergo therapy themselves. Yet, I don't know if there are many good psychiatrists out here. I think there are two professions that I believe, I may be wrong, but supposedly there are the two top professions that commit suicide are psychiatrists and cops because of the stress.
Really?
I think.
And I can see that. I can see that because they take on a lot of stressors every day. When you're taking on other people's responsibility, I understand that. Because it's emotional.
Yeah, you're not taking on their responsibilities, but people do feel that they are. And I feel that a psychiatrist, I don't know if a good psychiatrist should be empathetic or one that is very, arm's length. I don't know which one would be better. But whoever gives the best advice is the best one. And I don't care if the psychologist or psychiatrist, is especially empathetic or especially arm's length, seems cold. Just as long as the advice is good and they can make the patient feel better, then that psychiatrist is a good psychiatrist, psychiatrist or psychologist. But, you know, there are a few relationship counselors that come on Blog Talk Radio and have their own talk show. And I have the feeling of talking to them that they need psychiatrists themselves, because the advice that they seem to give is, to me, kind of flaky.
But you know, we got to do better by our kids. At least it's just people are bringing them into the world and they're not protecting them
enough. Absolutely. You know, and when you had that in your description page, and it's, to me, the one thing that I would always think that mothers and fathers would be, even if they're bad parents, I mean bad to each other, would be to be protective of the child. But a lot of parents are just crap parents. They should not have had kids.
At all.
Yeah.
At all.
Definitely.
I've seen mothers call their kids the B word, the MF word, and I know that's another conversation, but that gets under my skin so bad. Like, why are you talking to your 5-year-old kid like that? Like, you're five.
Why are you talking to the baby like that? And the baby's just crying. And you're like, the baby can't talk. The baby doesn't know how to tell you. That's why it's crying. Like, maybe you should have thought about that. Like, baby's crying.
Like,
don't kill the baby.
You shouldn't have
to kill because you make bad choices and your cycle of abuse because you don't want to write about it, talk about it, see a therapist. I don't know, meditate, do something, but you gotta do better than that.
Yeah.
At some point, you have to realize, okay, this is a child, it's an innocent child, and then one day this child might grow up, and I'm just reading about, you know, those that come up, they grow up and become abusers in their adulthood. They give people problems. So it's a vicious cycle.
It is. It is a vicious cycle. One day, about, what was it? It was last summer. I was in the park. And, sorry. Go ahead. Hello?
What's that?
Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was in the park. And there was a mother there with a couple of kids, and there were young ones. And one of the children had fallen down and bruised the knee and started crying. So she goes over to the child, picks the child up, puts the child on her lap, and starts, you know, speaking softly to the child. And after about 2 or 3 minutes, the child had calmed down. So when I had seen that, I went over to her and I said, You did a very good thing, the way that you calmed that child down. So she said thank you, and that was the end of that. But there would be people, you know, mothers or fathers would yank the child up and say, why are you crying? Stop crying. Yada, yada, yada. You know, what the child needs is to be consoled, to be comforted. But
yeah.
I guess being parents doesn't come naturally.
No, it is. And it definitely doesn't come.
Go ahead,
Patricia.
No, I was being funny. I said, I guess common sense doesn't either.
Yeah.
No, common sense isn't very common.
It doesn't come with a book either. Like, you don't know. Like, I had to be mom and dad. And so as a single mom, you have to come up with these scare tactics, and these tactics to put a little fear in the child enough for they'll respect you, but show them a lot more love so that they know that when you say something, it's coming from a place of love and not a place of you don't care. So I've seen where in some situations where you can't even let the stepdad talk to the kids because the only time he talks to the kids is when he got something mean to say. So that's not showing them any love. So you can't talk to the kids because you don't know how to talk to them when you're not angry. This is where I think another reason why people don't protect their children from things like molestation. You know, you get blamed because you shouldn't have had on them shorts. Nobody told you to wear them shorts. You was walking around, and he was looking at your booty. You wanted him to look at you. I'm just being a kid. That's it. If the shorts are too short, guess who bought them for me? Mom. But I ain't got a job.
Another one.
I'm 12.
Yeah.
You supposed to have
but
my back.
I'm also glad you said, yeah, that you had, you said a little fear. I've always been an advocate of making sure that the children fear, absolutely fear the parents. But I'm also glad you said
mm-hmm.
that they have to show love. When the kid comes home,
mm-hmm.
without a report card, you should go, hey, kid, get over here. And if the kid says, no, daddy, I don't want to go over there, you should play with him. You should chase him around the house. You should show the kid, you know, that you love the kid just because he's there. Because he exists.
Yes, absolutely. Man, I kid you not, I miss those days when I was coming to the house and the kids would be so happy to see me. They just saw me 8 hours ago. But they run and they're just happy to see me. I'm like, hey, you guys, you know. Okay. Did y'all clean up y'all's room?
A lot of people had,
yeah.
and I'm going to be honest, you know, crappy city, whatever you want to call it, childhood, and hurt people. So it's like you want to steal somebody else's joy because you feel like nobody cares or nobody cares enough about you. And in some ways, you know, people are like still little kids on the inside too. Like you
oh,
have,
yeah.
you know, a child inside, but you're matching it with an adult body. And this is male or female because, you know, on the flip side, you have women that marry, you know, men that have daughters and they try to, you know, I don't know, she wants to off her stepdaughter. She wants to get the daughter out of the way because, you know, and then she, you know, because they have women that are abusing, you know, young men, young women. I mean, it used to, all you hear is men are the pedophiles, men are the abusers. But now you got women, I mean, you know, that are doing the same thing. And it's like, crazy to think like that, but it's like it can go both ways is the point that we need to understand that, you know, women can do the same thing.
When you're talking about hurt people, do you know that the stats now that there are two different stats that are really in conflict with one another. But one set of stats
mm-hmm.
says that domestic violence occurs as
mm-hmm.
a result of 40% to 70% of the women initiating the violence. Now,
mm-hmm.
there are other stats that say differently. They say that men are the ones that perpetrate the violence. So I don't know which stats are true, but I do know
mm-hmm.
that, as you said, hurt people. If you're not getting what you
yeah.
need as a child, you are going to mask those feelings of pain as you grow older within,
mm-hmm.
within the body of
mm-hmm.
an adult. And you still need
uh-huh.
to be comforted, to be consoled, to be told that you matter. But since
yeah.
you're hurt, you want to hurt other people as well. So that's why
uh-huh.
I say, you know, you need a psychiatrist in every corner.
Yeah.
You really do. You really do.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder what's the real role of the psychiatrist? Is it to make a person cope, or is it to help a person to get rid of the problem? Like, for example, I was watching an episode of The Sopranos a while back, and if you know, I'm sure you two remember The Sopranos. It was a good, you know, it was a good crime drama about the mob.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl who was married to Tony, she couldn't take it anymore. I forgot what her name was in the series. So she went to two different psychiatrists. One psychiatrist was helping her, you know, to try to cope with the situation as she was living with her husband. The other psychiatrist says, divorce him. What are you doing being in a marriage with a man that, you know, and you're living off his blood money? So it made me wonder,
mm-hmm.
is psychiatry or is psychology good to help you try to cope with the situation, or is it better by having you say, I don't, even though it's painful, I have to get rid of the husband, or I have to get rid of the wife or the boyfriend or the girlfriend? So that would be a good subject one day.
How does it really help? Yeah, that is. What is the
role of a psychologist? That is a good question. I'm gonna do some research. Maybe we could do a show on that, because I think for the most part, a lot of people don't want to see a psychologist. They don't want to see a counselor. They don't want to try to get no like help for their mental or the horrific experience that they've gone through. And it's like that's where you need to start.
Exactly.
And I think it's important to heal before you move on, because typically what you do is you carry it over into whatever the next person, or whoever
there
the next person is.
That's right.
It carries over. It's not their responsibility. Yeah, it's not their responsibility to try to heal you, because they're not psychologists either. And typically, even if you're with somebody else, it doesn't go away. It's just depressed. You just got somebody to occupy your time so you don't think about it as much. But when you have a moment, then you'll think about it, and then you'll project that anger or that frustration off on whoever you're with. It's not their fault. So it's not carried over. I always advise to heal first before moving on into something new, because all you're going to do is taint the new, destroy the new, and you'll stay in the new, but then you and the new will be toxic together.
No, I agree.
That's not,
absolutely.
That's not,
how do you heal, though? I mean, there's one way of telling a person. You can say, you know what, it's not your fault that you were molested. It's not your fault that your parents were cold towards you. But then now you realize it's not your fault. But does that eliminate the need for being treated the way that you should have been treated as a child? That's something I'd like to find out about, because there are so many hurt people out here. I'm always in discussions with people about relationships. And when I say a psychiatrist in every corner, yeah, I'm being a little bit facetious, but it seems as though when you take a look at the statistics of people who are married and get divorced, that nobody knows how to have a good relationship anymore.
Whatever. Pause real quick, you guys. I have a caller, 678. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Good evening, ladies. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Gay.
Hello.
Happy.
Hello.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Gay. How you doing?
Good evening.
Hey, Michael.
Good. How are you?
Fine. I've been sitting back listening to the show for a good 45 minutes. So good topic. Great conversation. I was thinking that what also plays in the role of the molestation of young children is the lack of parenting, letting kids be around adults and act like adults. How should I put it? It's not letting a child be a child, you know. It's putting them in a situation where that molester is like, well, hell, their mama treat them like they're an adult, so, and she's coming off on me like an adult. You know, those type of situations do happen. And I do fault some of the parents more so. Well, of course, the individual is wrong for messing with a child's kid. But I see how this happens a lot of times, because the parents are not putting a child in a child's place, is the best way to put it. You know, they're letting them grow too fast. They're letting them, you know, cuss them out in front of grown folks and everything. So they're putting them in a bad situation.
And not taking responsibility, Mr. Gay. That is so true.
I'm going to disagree with you on that. And the reason
I see it every day. I see it every day, my friend. I'm just being honest. I see it every single day.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you don't see it. What I'm saying is that even if the parents are acting and putting the child, as you say, in an adult situation, the man or the woman knows that the child is a 16-year-old child, 15-year-old child, 13-year-old child, 12, et cetera. And doesn't matter if that child is being treated as an adult or being treated by an abusive adult as though he or she is the adult, the abuser has to know hands off, no matter what the situation.
Oh, yeah, I agree. If you heard what I said I'm not condoning. I'm not saying that, you know, the abuser is not at fault for their actions. But when you put a child in that situation, because unfortunately, children think they're equal to adults. There's a lot of these young girls that think they are. They think they're grown, and they will try to keep enticing a grown man, though that man is wrong. He's totally wrong. But there are young girls out here who do that, and it's sad to see. I see it all the time. I see them cussing at their mother, calling their mother by their first name. Listen, Gwen, you don't talk to me like that. I'm like, wait a minute, how old is this kid? She's talking to her mama like this? That's all I'm saying, is that it should be, as they always say, nipped in the bud of don't let your child dress like she's an adult. Don't let her talk like she's an adult. Because that's gonna attract a molester real quick, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree with that all attracts the molester. The thing is that when you say nip it in the bud, they should nip it around the age of 2. As the hostess was talking about, you have to instill fear into the child to make that child realize that mommy and daddy are not friends. They're your guidance.
Mm-hmm.
They're your mentor.
Right.
They're your parents. What they say goes. Their responsibility
Correct.
Is to give you love and comfort and guidance, but not to let you dress up like you're, when you're 15, to dress up like you're 27.
Correct.
And when you have that when you have that fear correctly installed and instilled in that child, even if they don't like it, they're going to obey the parents.
And it doesn't have to necessarily be a fear. It doesn't necessarily have to be a fear. It can be, the law of the land. That's the rule. And if you can't abide by my rules, then there are consequences. And unfortunately, when you lay down the law, I just saw a video, and I'm not going to change the subject, but the sad thing, this mother took her child's cell phone away. I don't know if you all saw this. He trashed the entire house. I mean, trashed every TV, broke every screen, broke the toilet seat. I mean, put holes in the wall. And this is a 15-year-old kid. That was ridiculous.
That was crazy.
And the question that was crazy. And the thing is that there's more than just the cell phone involved here. There's got to be something else for a child to do what that child did. And if you look up at the video, that's total rage and anger. But it has to boil up to more than her taking that cell phone.
Yeah,
I just feel like it has to be more to this.
Somewhere there was no fear and no respect for that mother, period.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
and in my opinion, there may be two major reasons for it. Number one, the kid could have been abused, and it was a straw that broke the camel's back. Or that kid was pampered all of his or her life. And when that cell phone was taken away, that kid felt entitled to do whatever that kid wanted to do because there were no consequences involved.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's when I saw that video, that's how I felt. I felt like, oh, this kid feels like he entitled to this phone. Yeah.
And
this is how you know it had to be an entitlement, because she watched him do it. He's on video. Somebody's videotaping him and not stopping him. Why? Why? Why we didn't call the police? Why we didn't snatch him up by his collar? Because as nonviolent as I like to be and I like to talk people off the ledge, on that day, he would have got it.
Yeah.
He would have got it. I would have called my brothers. I would have called my dad. I would. We, my uncle. Oh, y'all gonna get. Y'all better get him. Get him. Cause we not. And this is where we fall short, because a lot of parents sit back and let stuff like that happen. They're like, well, he's just going through a rough time that day. But he could have killed somebody in the house while you talking about he was going through a rough day. He could have killed somebody. That's a lot of damage. I saw that video. That video, man, I wanted to whoop that little boy.
But granted on what Joe said, you know, that it could have been two different things. But at 15 years old, you got a home, you got a roof over your head, you got food to eat, and you had a cell phone. Okay. You had a cell phone. But your bill couldn't have been that damn bad to do the damage that you did to your mother's home. You couldn't have had a day that damn bad. That's it too.
I want to say something real quick, you guys.
I'm hearing a feedback.
Yeah, it's bad. I'm going to call back in. It might be my phone. I'll be right back.
No, just put yourself on mute for a moment.
Nah, the mute doesn't work. I'm going to call back in.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
Hey. Yeah.
It's Lady J back in the building.
Hey, Lady J.
Hey, so after listening to you guys, I have a few comments. As I grew up, I was a daddy girl first. I grew up in a house with both parents. Right? So my first love came from my dad.
Hold on for a second. Can you meet everybody as soon as she finishes? You can find out where that's coming from.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay. So I was a daddy's. And whatever my dad told me needed to be. That's what I did. I didn't grow up in a broken home. But there were things that happened after my father passed away that made me turn into a rebellious kid. When my father passed away, my mother couldn't tell me anything. I was that child. I was given everything. But when the person that loved me the most left me first, I didn't know how to deal with that. So then my mother stepped in to be the mother after me listening to my dad for so long that I just wasn't receiving that. It took me a while. I ran away. I did all those things that kids do that I didn't even have a reason to do it. I was hurting and didn't know how to fix the hurt. Didn't even realize that my mother herself was hurting because she just lost her husband. And now not only did she lose her husband, but she just lost her daughter. So I think that when growing up in different lifestyles, like Michael was saying, when you grow up and you know how to respect your parents, it goes a long way. Because the things that kids say to their parents right now, I would never have said to my parents. Never, not in a million years. The things that these kids know right now, I didn't know. I didn't know if our lives were being disconnected. These kids know before you know that your bills need to be paid. When I was a kid, I was taught to stay in a kid's place. Go outside. Please. There's no kids in here. There are all adults in here playing. Ain't no card game for kids. The kids are playing outside. It wasn't don't play with the boys. You a girl. You need to make sure you stay with the little girls. It wasn't that.
Because once you start putting emphasis on those types of things, it brings out a curiosity in people. Well, why don't they want me around them? So you start venturing off to that side. But we don't know where we are, right? See, I'm grown now, so I can talk about it. I know now the difference.
Right.
And I'm not saying anything bad about the fact that there are a lot of broken homes, but that is where it starts. Because it takes a whole healthy home to build up a child, right? And that's why we keep saying we need a village. Because in the village, there are men and there are women. Where in your house, there may not have been. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So Even though myself have not been molested and I didn't go through that stuff, I know a lot of people that did. And the reasons that they don't speak up are because of some of the things that you said. When you speak about it, people act like it's your fault. Well, what did you do? Why are you around them? And why didn't you come in and tell me? Well, I didn't feel like I could talk to you. Right? We have to feel comfortable talking to those people that brought us into the world. Because after all, they are supposed to be our protectors. After all. And if they're not going to do it, who's going to do it? When my daughters come to me, they're having problems out there, I tell them, hey, you know what? You never have to leave home if you don't want to. Don't ever let somebody out there in them streets encourage you to do things that you know you don't need to be doing right now. If we're having an issue at home, we need to talk about it. Because pushing them into the street is just pushing them into more damage.
Absolutely.
That's my perspective.
You know, we say, yeah, they need to leave the house when they turn 18, but they're not ready. They're not adults yet. Let them learn how to be. They still got a few more years to learn how to be an adult. And with your, because what you're essentially saying is, you get out and let the world finish teaching you what it is that you need to know. No, that's my job.
That's right.
I brought you into work. That's my job. And just like you said, Lady Justice, if you need to be here, look, you need a little more time to get it together so you can comfortably be out on your own. And I'm not talking about 35, 40 years old, but so you can comfortably get it together, then take that time you need. Because you don't know what somebody is mentally going through, emotionally going through, because sometimes we, as young people, they can't convey all of that. They don't know how to convey that. And we need to be able to have conversations with our children when it comes to things like molestation. Me personally, I had the conversation with my children. I told them all the same thing. The boys, and I said, ain't nobody bigger and badder than your mama. Somebody say something to you out of line, you tell them they come to talk to me. They're not allowed to touch you inappropriately. Nobody's allowed to touch you inappropriately, including me. And I told them that. And if you feel like I'm touching you inappropriately, then go call your grandma. Tell your daddy. Tell somebody. Tell your great-grandma. Tell the teacher if you need to. If you feel like your mom is being inappropriate with you. Because there are situations where the parents are allowing certain things to happen to their kids, and they feel like, well, you my protector, you my mom. If I can't trust you, how can I trust the person on the street? How can I trust this stranger? How can I trust this teacher? I don't know. We have to have those conversations with our kids. We can't tell them that what goes on in this house stays in this house if it's not appropriate and if it's hurting to their well-being, period. That's just my take. I'm going to open the lines back up to everybody else. Lady Justice, did you want to say something to that, add to that?
Yes, just really quickly. That's exactly what I'm saying. We need to make sure that we open the lines of communication from the parents. And I understand, trust me, I understand that we are a generation of babies having babies. So we don't know what we don't know. But we got to find out. Sometimes you have to step back and take a look at something before you start blurting things out. You have to take a step back and put yourself in your baby's shoes. Put yourself in your daughter's shoes. What would you have done? And what can you do different now that you've stepped back?
I'd also like to add to that, too, is that a lot of people say that communication is the key. I disagree with that. I'm not saying that communication isn't important. It absolutely is. But if you don't know how to communicate to your child that when you're listening to them, that you love them, that you think of the world of them, that you're there to protect them, and that whatever they say can be held in confidence and not be held against them, then the communication is being done, but it's being done, in my opinion, the wrong way. So people, parents, it just seems like it should be natural. You sit down with your child. The child says, "Mommy, Daddy, I'm being bullied at school. Mommy, Daddy, I don't know. I feel stupid because I didn't get B's or C's or A's. Mommy, Daddy, I woke up this morning and had a nightmare." You can't criticize the child for what they're feeling. You have to say, "Johnny, Mary, well, what's going on? Tell me. You know, Daddy's here. Mommy's here." They have to know they can come to you. And as Lady Justice was saying, if a person doesn't know, if they're not comfortable with the parents or with somebody else, what are they going to do? They're going to implode.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wanted to say that.
And I know that those conversations are uncomfortable, as we all just stated. But you can't worry as a parent. If it's uncomfortable for you, how do you think it feels for your baby? So your priority is to put your how you feel aside and hear your child out. No matter how uncomfortable you may be, they're even more uncomfortable having to sit in front of you and say, "Somebody's been touching on me." That's not a good feeling to have to tell your mom that somebody's touching your private parts or they doing things to you inappropriate. Real quick, I'm gonna say this. I don't know. And this just came to my mind. Does anybody remember the mother who had the four children, and she killed two of them in Detroit?
No, I never heard about that one.
Okay,
I know
so
a lot
real
of
quick,
those.
Quick,
yeah, the black mother. She killed her two. I think
mother,
it was the two youngest ones.
Not her two youngest. She killed her two middle children because they were molesting her youngest son. And when she didn't just kill them, she tortured them first. So she was throwing hot water on the boy's genitals until the meat was falling off of it. And then she starved the daughter's name was Stoney. She starved Stoney to death. She starved her. She said, "I didn't mean to kill my son, but I meant to kill my daughter." Because the son, according to the younger son, the little brother, he was ejaculating on him and then making him swallow it. And as a mother, it's a lot going on through your head. You're trying to protect one and punish the other, but you're that angry that you end up killing them instead of just sending them away. So she protected one of her kids, but she killed two of them. But there was nobody else involved. The fathers were not involved in these kids' lives. That's a hard thing. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to the story, and I can kind of relate, but it's at the same time, it's like, as angry as I would be, I would just have to send my kids away. I could not, because it would be a very difficult thing to look you in the eye knowing that you've been touching on your little brother. It's a very difficult thing. It's very hard. But I think she was convicted. This happened some years ago, but she's been convicted, and she was not apologetic. She said she was not sorry that she killed her daughter. She did it deliberately. She was sorry that she killed her son. She said, but I'm trying to protect my youngest. And she wanted to know, she asked the judge, what would you do? Yeah, she asked the judge, what would you do? So those situations, and even with her, I think she had a hard life or whatnot going on in her life. But this is where she should have gotten some healing at some point. Where we don't think we need healing, we need healing. We need counseling. Like Joe said, there needs to be psychologists on every corner. Put a psychologist on every corner. Instead of a liquor store, let's put a psychologist on every corner.
Yeah, right.
Call somebody, put the psychiatrist booth up there, and let them be the payphone people.
Right.
The debriefer needs to be debriefed.
The debris, it needs to go down. Yes.
Hey, Bobby, where are you going? I'm going down to the corner. To the liquor store? No, to the psychiatrist. They got one on every corner now. Did you know that?
They're offering a membership discount. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Buy one, get one free. Come on.
That's right.
On Tuesday, talk about it Tuesday. You can come talk. You can get 30 minutes free. Come talk about it.
Yes. Hey, that's it.
Yeah. You know, but what's funny, you know what? I just can't. You know what I'm just thinking of just now? When you have, like, in Beverly Hills, everybody goes to a psychiatrist. So everybody gathers around and they say, well, you know, my psychiatrist says, no. My psychiatrist says, no. My psychiatrist says, there'll be everybody competing about who's got the best psychiatrist.
The battle of the cycles.
That's
a good thing.
Oh, my
goodness.
That is hilarious.
It's a way to heal, too. We can get some laughter, you know, more laughter going on. Because like you said in the good word, the laughter, you know, there's good like medicine. I think we as a people, we don't laugh enough. You know, we get so offended. And some things are offensive in life that people say out their mouth without thinking. It goes back to common sense, like Joe said, not being very common. But laugh a little, you know. We just got to, you know, lighten up and just see how it goes. But, I mean, laughing, hey, there's nothing wrong with a good story, with a good joke. And I think people don't laugh enough.
Yeah. And all of these things, we definitely need some laughter, for sure.
You know, laughter is the best medicine, but I still think that the real core remedy to all of this is when you have parents who really know how to care and show it, and they let those kids know, no matter what has happened to you, if you've been molested, if you've been accused of robbing somebody or hurting somebody, you can talk to me. I'm not going to say that you're right when you're definitely wrong, but I'm going to be there to let you know I am your father, I am your mother, and I will stand by you to help you. I will not say that if you did rob somebody, right? Let's say you were jealous of your friend in school, so you took his or her watch. No, that was wrong, but I understand that you were jealous. We can deal with that. You have to give the watch back. And you have to pay the price. In other words, the consequences. But while you're doing that, Johnny, I am going to be there with you. I am going to show you that I love you regardless. I don't think we have enough parents like that. I always blame the parents anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, I gotta jump off with you guys. I'm gonna be listening, but I gotta go. But take care. Enjoying the show. I'll still be listening. But I'll talk to you guys again. God bless.
Take it easy.
All right.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I want to give a quick shout out to the ladies that I have on this show with me. They are some of the best parents, the best mothers that I've met. You know, we don't get those awards every day. My kids tell me that I'm a pretty good mom, and I appreciate them saying that.
But sometimes it's good hearing it from somebody else. So I want to say to Patricia, Lucy, and Lady Justice that you all are great mothers and you're doing a great job. Because I've been around you, so I know what your mothering skills are like, so I can say that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And the same to you.
Yes. Yeah. So we definitely have to continue making awareness of how to get our, you know, treat our children better. Because, again, there was another shooting in St. Louis where this, you know, person got a gun. So, you know, it's a lot going on. But I think if we keep talking about it and keep making awareness of it, and I'm able to stand and talk about molestation and rape and things like that because I've experienced, I've been through it, I've healed from it, I stand, and I'm not a victim, I am a victor, and so I want to help some other ladies become victors and not victims, because I don't care if it's something else, any type of abuse, don't allow the accuser or, you know, to win. Don't allow the accuser to win. And by you playing victim for years and years and years, they win. So
I got a question for you.
Sure.
What do you suggest? Because I've been talking to people for over 20 years about relationships, and recently I've been on the topic of trauma. One of the trauma causes would be, of course, sexual molestation. How do you get into, well, anybody can get into it, but how do you sustain or break through the wall of people who have had either been molested or have had some kind of trauma, and they do not know how to have a healthy relationship? Now, the people that I've talked to so far online, they've said they need professional help, but you can only go so far and you have to leave them. And I'm a person who believes in boundaries. But everybody who has been hurt, you know, in order to cut the cycle, I'm wondering, is there a way to, when you're in a relationship with somebody who has been traumatized, either through molestation or through some other abusive environment, how do you break through to them to let them become a healthy person?
I'll go ahead and speak on this first, and I'll let the ladies say, but I always say, don't get into any relationship until you've healed from whatever is ailing you, whatever hurt your heart, because all it does is it's creating issues within the relationship because you're not over it and you hoping that the other person will be your fix, and the other person will never be your fix. So you got to heal yourself, and in healing yourself, you have to address whoever or whatever head on, like confront the situation, either by writing it in a letter and sending it to them, or talking to them face to face and letting them know that what they did to you. Because you're an adult, and especially if you're an adult now. You're an adult now. They can't do to you what they did to you when you were a child. Or maybe you're stronger now. But if you don't head on, I mean, for me, that's what I did. I head on. I was like, yeah, I wish you would. Please do it. Give me a reason. Because I'm going to take all your front teeth out. Because I ain't a little girl no more. So now you got to deal with adult me. And literally that's what I said. But I that's just one way to deal with it, because if you never deal with it head on, then you just always hold it in. And you never feel like you got your retribution, or you never feel like you got your chance to speak or to scream.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's my suggestion.
What about somebody like, for example, I feel that I'm pretty well-rounded. I feel I don't have many mental issues, many mental, you know, issues. Some people might disagree, but who knows? You know, The thing is, if I meet a woman and she seems to be my type, she has a personality I like, she has a character I like, but she does have certain quirks and idiosyncrasies which are stemming from trauma. From what you're saying, if I believe that they are stemming from trauma, that she, if she's not healed, then I have to let her go. But if I don't want to let her go, how?
You can help walk her through it, but don't. This is just my suggestion. Don't make a serious commitment. Help her heal as a friend. Don't help her heal as the boyfriend or the husband. Help her heal as a friend.
Okay.
And because we do that, like Lady Justice is my best friend, and she's helped me get over some things just because I needed the conversation. But you can help her heal as a friend. And then once she's reached that point, because now she trusts you. Now she's probably even more in love with you because you helped her get over that. But what a lot of people do is they jump into the relationship in hopes that that'll make everything better. And that typically don't make it better. It just makes it worse because you're trying to have a relationship and help them. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to have a serious relationship and help them at the same time. It's hard. So, but if you help her as a friend, then it makes it easier for you to progress into boyfriend or husband.
Mm-hmm. All right, good. You know what my biggest fear is in relationships? I like your advice. I never thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest fear in relationship is that I bet you everybody here has probably been in that type of situation, is that when everything is going well, that's when everything starts to deteriorate. That's my biggest fear.
What do you mean? What do you mean deteriorate?
Well, there are so many people that are afraid of really getting love because they're afraid it's going to end, that they'll sabotage the relationship. So
that's
you know, true. So my biggest. Yeah, so my biggest fear is that she has found me. She loves me. She trusts me. She believes in me. Now she's going to act like a bitch.
I'm going to take that one real quick. Yeah, on that one, because I've been that bitch. I can totally understand that, because for me it stemmed from, you know, my father being in prison when I was younger, and I felt like he left me at an age where I had to find out about and I'm just gonna be totally honest, forgive me, piece of shit ass boy, you know, young men, that if he would have been around, you know, I would have had a better model to that. But I definitely found myself as an adult, you know, getting into relationships, and then I would start picking him apart. Like, I don't like the way he breathes. I don't like this. I don't, you know, and then that would make me cause a problem. And then next thing you know, goodbye. All right. And then you know what? Gone. Goodbye. And I would find myself, you know, just really nitpicking, because I'm like, before you try to leave me, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to find something and I'm going to make myself not you start calling me, I'm already done with you. So, I have been that bitch.
You know, you probably would have had like a 30-second conversation with them, like, okay, honey, what do you find wrong with me? You're breathing.
I don't want to breathe. I'm sorry. It was that thing. But I was that one. Like, because it was a trauma in my mind that my father left me, so now I'm going to do men like this.
Ooh,
because what was the reason? I'm going to do men like this. And I didn't realize, even as a young adult, you know, and having my first child, that it made it easier for me to say, I can find the smallest thing wrong and convince myself that this is, we're done. This is, you know, what you call it, a no-brainer. And it's something painful.
Yeah.
But it was a form of protecting myself, because I felt like this man, everything was going good with my father. He got a new house. He was coming to see me. He was coming to visit me. And next thing I know, he's in prison. He's in handcuffs. So I equated that with, at some point, this relationship is going too good. He's buying me jewelry. We're spending a lot of time together. He's calling I never have to wonder if he cares about me because he tells me, oh, he's about to mess up real soon. Let me get ahead of that. He's going to leave. He's going to do something, and I'm going to be disappointed. So before I let him disappoint me, I'm going to pick him apart. And he's probably like, wow, where did this come from?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's what I'm afraid of, you know? You know, everything's going well. All of a sudden, there's a hatchet coming at my head. You know, like, why are you treating me so well? You know, hey, wait a minute.
Oh my goodness, that's so funny. Yes. We have about 3 minutes left, and I want to make sure that the audience can find you on the internet, on social media. Trisha B, please tell the audience what it is that you do and how they can find you.
Okay, thank you. So this is your girl, Patricia B, all the way from KC, Marketing Promotional Director, Babes for Change LLP. We do a variety of things. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Google My Business. We're active out in the community, just marketing and promoting. We got our hands in a little bit of everything. So, and this podcasting is just one more thing to add to our resume to reach the people. So, we're out here.
That's right. Thank you. Lady Justice. Is she there?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Tell the people how they can find you and what it is you do.
You can find me at work.
Okay, thank you.
I'm always doing something real close to it. I'm there now. You can find me in the community. You can find me on this blog talk show. You can find me on Facebook under Yolanda Robinson Van. Pretty soon you will be able to look me up underneath Lady Justice. I'm working on that. And I'm working on a bunch of different things. I don't want to just start throwing out a whole bunch of information because I know how social media will just eat it up. I'm not ready for you to chew on it yet.
Yes.
But you can find me working on houses and working with my husband and working on building a great family and a successful life. That's where you're going to find me.
Yeah. And can I say just one thing? Lady Justice. Best friend.
Say that again. Uh-huh.
Can I say this one thing?
Sure.
And she has a book coming out soon. That's all I wanted to say. That's all I'm going to say about that boy. She has a book coming out soon, and you guys are going to love it. We will definitely be promoting it right here on the show. You'll see me promoting it all over the place. So, yes, she has a book coming out. You're going to love the read. That's all I'm going to say to that. So we're going to have her on so she can tell us about the book. When the time comes. Now, Joe, you've been on the show a couple times because, I recognize your voice and your name. Is there anything particular or special that you do outside of coming and hanging out with us?
I've been on the show before. Have I?
Yes. Yes.
I have. Oh, okay. I just thought I found a new show that I could go to about relationships. I didn't know I was on the show before. But yeah, I'm starting an organization. It's called Psychiatrist on Every Corner. So I'm hoping everybody will join. That's my project.
I'm going to support that. I'm going to definitely support that.
Yeah, I hope, you know, that'd be funny if somebody heard us and then said, you know, that they actually started an organization, you know. Petitioning the government to have a psychiatrist in every school, you know, in every apartment complex and every building. Oh boy!
Yeah. Exactly. Oh my goodness. Well, this is your girl Cotton Campbell with Let's Talk About It, and this is the ladies of TMGN, Patricia B, Lucy, who wasn't with us today,
And Lady Justice, thank you for our guests who called in. Thank you for our guests who chimed in online. We definitely appreciate y'all. But this is your girl, Cotton Campbell, signing out. You know my motto, peace, love, and loyalty. God before man, spirit before flesh, and love before hate. Y'all have a great evening, everybody.
Good night, all. Take care.
Good night.
Baby dance full of facts. Baby dance full of facts.